imagine what it must have been like there on the mountainside watching Jesus, listening to him preach. I imagine seeing the crowds captivated by him, and I imagine I'm there taking in every word he is saying too. Hours go by, and it's almost like nobody notices until it starts getting really hot. And I'm sitting there feeling the heat, realizing for the first time today that I'm tired, and becoming aware of the fact that I haven't eaten all day. The crowd is a little restless. They're hungry too. And the kids are more vocal about their hunger. The parents try to stall for time and venture close to full-blown, hangry meltdown mode. It's time to eat, but no one brought food. I don't want to go yet. I want to be here with Jesus. I want to listen and receive what he has to give. I want to stay and be seen by him. But the hunger pains start to really get to me. The disciples start scurrying around and apparently looking to see if anyone has food. Highly unlikely at this point, I guess. And then something catches my eye. A little boy going up to Jesus. He gives Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish. Silly boy. Sweet, but silly. What could be done with this? Kids can be so innocent and naive. Can't even feed a family with this, let alone a hungry crowd. But Jesus seems quite happy with the boy. He smiles and takes the loaves and bread gratefully. And then he just starts handing it out. Nice, I think. At least 5 people will feel better and get to stay. But the food is passed on and on and on. He's feeding everyone, I suddenly realize. Simply, yet miraculously. He's even feeding me. He saw we were hungry and he fed us. But Jesus is setting the scene for a message that goes beyond how God provides in our physical needs and desires. It's like Jesus uses our physical hunger to help us connect with our spiritual and emotional hunger too. Read with me the scripture just a little bit later in this chapter after Jesus feeds the crowds. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." So here, the people were keen to get to Jesus because they had experienced a miracle. But Jesus looks right through them into their deepest chambers of who they are and calls them out. "You're not looking for me because I impressed you with wonders and miracles. You're looking for me because you've experienced what it's like to not be hungry. You've had your fill." Jesus is helping them connect with what is really going on inside of them. And so he's saying, the fill you've had, the physical hunger pains that you've had stilled, there's that for your deeper hunger too. Hunger for that bread. You may not know it, but that's why you're really here. Then they respond with, in other words, then they respond with, what must we do? In other words, what can I, through my ability, do to get this? And Jesus pretty much just says, well, believe in the one that can give it to you. The fish and the loaves aren't the miracle. I am. So they ask for proof, for a clue. They still think they can get it if they just know what to look out for. Back in the desert, they knew God was providing when the bread fell from heaven. I mean, you couldn't really miss that, so that helped. But Jesus responds, that bread, that miracle wasn't Moses, that was God. But you're still missing what I'm saying here. The real heavenly bread gives life, not for a day or for a moment, but it gives life. It gives you a way of living, sustenance on all levels, physical, emotional, spiritual. Now they're intrigued and they say, okay, give us that please. And Jesus just says in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. He says, I am the bread. Thinking about how Jesus describes himself here as the bread of life, let's notice firstly that he helps us recognize our hunger. I love, for example, when he's on the mountainside with the crowds, he goes to the disciples and he asks, how will we feed these people? And the disciples basically react with, we're not. There's nothing here for us to do. We're probably talking about at least 15,000 people here represented by the 5,000 men as heads of the family. And they can't feed them, so they don't even consider it. I wonder if we sometimes miss what is going on in and around us too, because we're just not sure that there's something that can be done. The hunger for love, for community, for someone to care, for the hunger for recognition, the hunger for help. It's just too big, so let's just pretend it isn't here, or let's just make it go away. But Jesus says to the disciples, they can feed the crowd. There's a need here that can be satisfied. We're not going to deny it. We're not going to pretend it isn't here. And we're not just going to suppress it or chase it away. We're going to recognize that these people are hungry. And maybe at this point, the disciples realized that they were hungry too. And everyone gets to eat. There's more than enough. Now the next day, as people start looking for Jesus after what he had done, he does it again. He helps them recognize their true hunger. If we just look at verse 26 and 27 again, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. These people think they are looking for a miracle. But really, their hunger has little to do with being convinced or won over or impressed or excited. The thrill of a miracle or the experience of something beyond their control is only the tip of the iceberg. Their hunger is really for something more, deeper. It's a hunger for life, for an experience of being satisfied with something, or rather someone, that brings true sustenance. It's a hunger for life with God, even though they may not yet know it. Like Jesus says to the woman at the well, once she drinks the water he gives, she will never thirst again. So too, our hunger is for that which is found in Jesus that allows us to hunger no more. And Jesus helps us recognize this. The woman suddenly recognizes her hunger for forgiveness, belonging, meaning. She finds it in a life with Jesus. Zacchaeus is led to recognize his hunger to be seen and valued. He eats the bread of companionship and acceptance found in Jesus, and he is satisfied, eager to live from the energy the bread of life gives. Thomas is met in his desire for hope, for a future, for his friend, in his deep desire to believe. And Jesus finds him and meets him in his deepest hunger, and he's satisfied in Jesus. He meets me in those seasons when I wake up in the morning and wonder what the point of life really is, when I wonder if I'm just to do the same thing as yesterday and the day before, he helps me see that I'm either ignoring my real hunger for meaningful life in friendship with him, or I'm allowing my busyness to suppress my hunger to such an extent that I've not consumed the bread of life, and I'm thus running on fumes. No vitality, no capacity, no energy, disconnected. And yes, sometimes I'm really hard of hearing and then things escalate and then my hunger spills over into my relationships. And in my life, that looks like distrust, fear, assumptions, selfishness. And until I recognize that I'm hungry for what Jesus offers in himself in so many ways, I don't eat. And I stay hungry, disgruntled, and malnourished. But Jesus meets me there and helps me recognize what is going on. As Jesus encounters each of us, he gently asks us, "What do you really want?" And when we can't answer him well, because we so often live unaware and detached lives, he leads us to recognize. He helps us to see. What would it be like to enter into conversation with him and honestly explore what you hunger for? St. Augustine said, "Christ is the bread awaiting hunger." Let him help you recognize your hunger. Let him sit with you while you draw water. Let him call you down from the tree you're hiding in. Let him take your hand and help you believe. He'll help you figure it out so that you can realize you need to eat. The next thing that we can notice is that in Jesus we receive our fill. Jesus is extravagant in satisfying our hunger. I wonder if the excessive amount of bread and fish that Jesus gave for the crowd's physical hunger was subtly pointing to Jesus' eagerness and capacity to satisfy our deeper hunger. You see, we may be very aware of our own desires, although seldom our true desires. But even more, we forget that God desires. He desires us. And thus, he's not obliged to feed us. He wants to feed us. He wants to give us wholesome, nutritious bread so that we can live with him for all of eternity. He wants to give us himself so that he may have us and us him. He gives us his body, himself, his whole life. And he comes to us every day. The woman at the well can come to him and eat. Zacchaeus can come and eat. Thomas can come and eat daily, so they need never be hungry. I can come and eat. So many metaphors point to God as provider, the one who sustains us, the one who blesses. But we receive everything we need, not only the physical. He is the companion that satisfies our hunger caused by loneliness. He is grace that satisfies our hunger created by guilt, resentment, and bitterness. Our hunger for peace is met by him. Our hunger for meaning and belonging is met in the life of purpose he leads us on. Our hunger for community is met in the body of Christ. But for different reasons, we often don't receive the bread he gives. We may fill ourselves with mirages of what we think we want and then wonder why we never feel like we have enough. These things don't nourish us. They consume us. They become attachments and addictions that leave us depleted and exhausted. Think about our hunger for success, for approval, for material riches. While not being bad in itself, if this is what we fill ourselves with to still our hunger, we'll stay always hungry, and we won't open ourselves to the nourishment we really long for. Another reason we don't open ourselves to receive what Jesus gives is because we think we can't get what Jesus has to give. We replay words in our minds that convince us we can't. I'm not good enough. I'm too far gone. I keep defaulting to my destructive patterns. I can't compare. They don't know what I really think or who I really am. But the metaphor of bread reminds us that the life Jesus gives is attainable. It is something we need every day, Jesus didn't invite us to see him as the Sunday roast reserved for a special occasion in your best dressed clothes. He says, I'm the bread. I am the most basic need that you long for. I am what you can't live without. I'm not something you can only someday get. I'm here now and you can receive me. I'm here for the woman who slept around. I'm here for the man who defrauded the most vulnerable, for the man of faith who couldn't believe. For all those who wouldn't have been invited to Sunday lunch, I'm here for you. I'm here for you to have. I'm here to nourish you, to save you from starvation and depletion. I love you too much to let you continue to live like this. Eat your fill daily. Receive. Lastly, we can notice that Jesus invites us to remain in a life of sustenance. So often we live the wrong way around. We work so hard on what we can achieve in life so that we can feel that our lives mean something. And we hold on to the notion that if we mean something and feel significant, that will keep us going and give us the drive and energy to push forward in life. And maybe then we will be loved and accepted. Jesus says, no, I already love and accept you even before you've done anything. I am your sustenance. I am the bread of life. From this knowing and being, this way of life, you can step into a life of significance. And from this, there will be fruit. This is the life he invites us to, his sustenance. And we can remain here. But so often we don't. Why do we wait until our grumbling and groaning get so intense and painful before we eat? Jesus' invitation, don't wait. Eat and remain fed, then you won't have to ever go hungry. So where do we begin? Perhaps by beginning with the bread in front of us. The bread in front of us, God's word. Jeremiah says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Are you being fed by the word of God daily? It's his love letter to us. He wants to delight you with his words. But we also have each other. We have a community, the body of Christ in front of us. So how is Jesus coming to you and inviting you to this way of life through a loved one? Or perhaps through a specific connection, such as a spiritual director or a therapist. How is he meeting your hunger through his body? And then the bread is found simply in being in his presence. He is the bread of life. Perhaps if we become aware of our connectedness with him, we can bring our hunger to be stilled by the bread. And you may want to carry this prayer in your heart today and pray it as regularly as is helpful for turning your attention to him. Jesus, you are the bread for my hunger. Humbly I come to receive. Jesus, you are the bread for my hunger. Humbly I come to receive. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the way that you've described yourself. Thank you for these words. Thank you for reminding us that you are our sustenance. You give us energy, vitality. Lord, we can find connection and relationship with you, our whole being in a life with you. Remind us to come and eat our fill daily. Thank you, Lord, that anyone, all of us, can come and receive. Thank you that we are deeply connected to you and that we get to live this life with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your desire for us, for your eagerness to nourish us. May we turn to you with all our hunger and may we humbly receive how you give yourself to us. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the love of God our Father, the friendship, the forgiveness, and the grace of Jesus Christ his Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. Amen.